Nobody never said anything for a while. Then the young man hove a sigh and says, "Alas." "What are you alasin' about?" says the bald head. "To think I should have lived to be leading such a life and to be degraded down into such company." And he begun to wipe the corner of his eye with a rag.
"Darn your skin, ain't the company good enough for you?"
says the bald head, pretty pert and uppish.
"Yes, it is good enough for me. It's as good as I deserve. For who fetched me so low when I was so high? I did myself. I don't blame you, gentlemen, far from it. I don't blame anybody. I deserve it all. Let the cold world do its worst. One thing I know, there's a grave somewhere for me. The world may go on just as it's always done and take everything from me, loved ones, property, everything. But it can't take that. Some day I'll lie down in it and forget it all, and my poor broken heart will be at rest."
He went on a-wiping.
"Drot your poor broken heart," says the bald head. "What are you heaving your poor broken heart at us for? We ain't done nothing."
"No, I know you haven't. I ain't blaming you, gentlemen. I brought it myself down. Yes, I did it myself. It's right I should suffer. Perfectly right. I don't make any moan."
"Brought you down from where? Where was you brought down from?"
"Ah, you would not believe me. The world never believes. Let it pass. 'Tis no matter. The secret of my birth."
"The secret of your birth? Do you mean to say—"
"Gentlemen," says the young man, very solemn, "I will reveal it to you, for I feel I may have confidence in you. By rights, I am a duke."
Jim's eyes bugged out when he heard that, and I reckon mine did too. Then the bald head says,
"No, you can't mean it."
"Yes, my great-grandfather, eldest son of the Duke of Bridgewater, fled to this country about the end of the last century to breathe the pure air of freedom. Married here and died, leaving a son, his own father dying about the same time. The second son of the late Duke seized the title and estates. The infant real Duke was ignored. I am the lineal descendant of that infant. I am the rightful Duke of Bridgewater. And here I am, forlorn, torn from my high estate, hunted of men, despised by the cold world, ragged, worn, heartbroken, and degraded to the companionship of felons on a raft."
Jim pitied him ever so much, and so did I. We tried to comfort him, but he said it warn't much use. He couldn't be much comforted. Said if we was a mind to acknowledge him, that would do him more good than most anything else. So we said we would, if he would tell us how. He said we ought to bow when we spoke to him and say, "Your Grace," or "My Lord," or "Your Lordship." And he wouldn't mind if we called him plain Bridgewater, which he said was a title anyway and not a name. And one of us ought to wait on him at dinner and do any little thing for him he wanted done. Well, that was all easy, so we done it. All through dinner, Jim stood around and waited on him and says, "Will your grace have some of this or some of that?" and so on. And the body could see it was mighty pleasing to him. But the old man got pretty silent by and by, didn't have much to say, and didn't look pretty comfortable over all that petting that was going on around that duke. He seemed to have something on his mind. So along in the afternoon, he says,
"Look here, Bilgewater," he says, "I'm nation sorry for you, but you ain't the only person that's had troubles like that."
"No."
"No, you ain't. You ain't the only person that's been sneaked down wrongfully out in a high place."
"Alas."
"No, you ain't the only person that's had a secret of his birth."
And by jing, he begins to cry.
"Hold, what do you mean?"
"Bilgewater, can I trust you?" says the old man, still sort of sobbing.
"To the bitter death."
He took the old man by the hand and squeezed it and says, "The secret of your being, speak."
"Bilgewater, I am the late Dauphin."
You bet Jim and me stared this time. Then the Duke says,
"You are what?"
"Yes, my friend, it is too true. Your eyes are looking at this very moment on the poor disappeared Dauphin, Louis the 17th, son of Louis the 16th and Mary Antoinette."
"You? At your age? No. You mean you're the late Charlemagne? You must be 600 or 700 years old at the very least."
Trouble has done it, Bilgewater. Trouble has done it. Trouble has brung these gray hairs and this premature balditude. Yes, gentlemen, you see before you, in blue jeans and misery, the wandering, exiled, trampled on, and suffering rightful King of France.
Well, he cried and took on so that me and Jim didn't know hardly what to do, we were so sorry, and so glad and proud we'd got him with us, too. So we set in, like we'd done before, with the Duke and tried to comfort him. But he said it warn't no use, nothing but to be dead and done with it all could do him any good. Though he said it often made him feel easier and better for a while if people treated him according to his rights, and got down on one knee to speak to him and always called him Your Majesty, and waited on him first at meals and didn't sit down in his presence till he asked them. So Jim and me set to Majesty and him, and doing this and that and t'other for him, and standing up till he told us we might sit down. This done him heaps of good, and so he got cheerful and comfortable. But the Duke kind of soured on him and didn't look a bit satisfied with the way things was going. Still, the King acted real friendly towards him and said the Duke's great-grandfather and all the other Dukes of Bilgewater was a good deal thought of by his father and was allowed to come to the palace considerable. But the Duke stayed huffy a good while, till by and by the King says,
"Like as not we got to be together a blamed long time on this here raft, Bilgewater, and so what's the use of your being sour? It'll only make things uncomfortable. It ain't my fault I wasn't born a duke. It ain't your fault you weren't born a king. So what's the use to worry? Make the best of things the way you find 'em," says I. "That's my motto. This ain't no bad thing that we've struck here. Plenty grub and an easy life. Come, give us your hand, Duke, and let's all be friends."
The Duke done it, and Jim and me was pretty glad to see it. It took away all the uncomfortableness, and we felt mighty good over it, because it would have been a miserable business to have any unfriendliness on the raft. For what you want above all things on a raft is for everybody to be satisfied and feel right and kind towards the others. It didn't take me long to make up my mind that these liars weren't no kings nor dukes at all, but just low-down humbugs and frauds. But I never said nothing, never let on. Kept it to myself. It's the best way. Then you don't have no quarrels and don't get into no trouble. If they wanted us to call them kings and dukes, I had no objections, long as it'd keep the peace in the family. And it wa'n't no use to tell Jim, so I didn't tell him. If I never learnt nothing else out of Pap, I learnt that the best way to get along with his kind of people is to let them have their own way.